If we could see the scars we'll bear when we break God's laws on sexual behavior, we'd never break them in the first place. God designed our greatest sexual fulfillment to be in a covenant marriage relationship, not in a succession of one-night stands. Casual sex leaves behind some not-so-casual memories, memories that create bondage. Today, the myth of sexual freedom. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series describes seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about sexual freedom, the poisoned oasis, where one consequence is the tendency to sexual promiscuity.
I remember a young woman, 26 years old, tired of being a virgin, saying, "It's my turn, everybody else is doing it, I might as well." She said that when it was over, she could almost hear the words in her mind, just as clear as anything, say, "Well, now that you're defiled, anything is possible." Began a whole system of immorality that when she became pregnant, she did not know who the father was. One alien bond causing her to spin out of control because, see, all the boundaries are gone now. I think of a man wanting to get even with his wife, visiting a prostitute, ending up in that whole lifestyle for years and years and years until he was exposed. The power of these alien bonds. And then, of course, we could just talk right now about sexual addiction, couldn't we? I shall not, except to give a single quote. Someone says regarding sex addicts, they use sex like a drug not to consummate loving relationships, but rather to drown the pain of feeling empty inside a dark, shameful well of sexual oblivion. It's the blinding absorption of sin. That's what the problem is. And by the way, you know that young 16-year-old I told you about whose tears fell onto her lap? I met her several months later, and she was in another relationship. See, she couldn't go back to that first relationship. That was impossible. But now she's going to begin to seek over here and seek over there and seek over there. And she's absolutely convinced that somewhere, someplace, with someone, her deep need for appreciation and love will be fulfilled. And you and I know in advance that the answer is it never will be in those relationships. Let me give you another consequence, and that is guilt. Guilt. Oh, many people deny it. They say, "Well, we don't feel guilty. We've come to terms. We've come to manage our guilt." I was reading this past week some people who are formerly married, and you know, they experience temptations that are sometimes more overwhelming than the younger generation, the formerly married. And within the Christian context, there were all kinds of comments written out as to what they said. And one woman said, "Sometimes I feel so despondent after having been out, having a good time in companionship and sexuality, that I feel I will rather die than live with this torn apart feeling." Another said, "I felt I had to prove my sexuality, but one part of me says it's right, it's beautiful, it's fulfilling. But then there's another part of me that says this is wrong for a Christian." Well, folks, enough of this. Could I just ask you now, do you understand why we have so many problems in our marriages? Here are young people who say to themselves, "Well, you know, we can be immoral and then God will forgive us. I mean, if the blood of Christ can't forgive us for this, what's the blood of Christ all about anyway?" And so they're involved in relationships. And of course, the blood of Christ does forgive them, thankfully, as we shall explain. But they bring to the marriage oftentimes all these alien bonds that have never been seriously dealt with. And as a result, they find it hard now to commit themselves to one person because, you see, the parameters have been invaded in their life. And therefore, it's very difficult for them to find their sexual commitment and their equilibrium. I'll tell you that in this business, this temptation, which is so powerful, and all of us have experienced it, my, how we have to watch, don't we? Because we want to believe all those lies out there. We convince ourselves they're right. I think there's a lesson we can learn from an animal in Northern Europe called an ermine. I think that's the right pronunciation. It's about the size of a weasel, as I understand, and it has a very, very white coat, and it is absolutely committed to keeping that coat clean at all costs. Hunters take cruel advantage of this animal. What they do is they find its hole, which is oftentimes in a hollow tree, the base of a hollow tree. They find its hole, and then they smear it with grease or some refuse. They put some dirt in it, and they leave it there. And then they chase their dogs, and this little animal goes scampering and wants to scamper into his hole, but he sees it's dirty, and he doesn't go in. And the dogs come, and the animal dies. What the little animal is really saying is, I would rather die than get this coat dirty. I pray that God will raise up generations of people, even in this world, with all of its temptations, who say, I would rather die than get myself dirty. Now, of course, the question is, what is the way out, isn't it? I speak to those of you who may be in relationships that are very hurtful, but you've invested a great deal in those relationships. I speak to those of you who perhaps have experienced all of these bonds, and you say, how can we be free from their impact and from their power to destabilize my sexual equilibrium? You know, I do believe that there is such a thing, actually, as what shall we call it, spiritual virginity. Because there are many people, you see, with these experiences in their past, and yet they've come to God, they have dealt with them, they've put these things behind them, and God in His grace is able to give them a very, very wholesome relationship as the past is genuinely put behind them. And I want to tell you today that there is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. Maybe we can do no better but to look here at the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul writes this letter, and now I pick it up actually at verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the male prostitutes or homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, are you deceived? Could it be? Paul says, don't be deceived. However we interpret the inheriting of the kingdom, it's something very, very serious. Paul says, I just want you to understand that people who practice these things, they're not going to get there. You think of all the people who've talked themselves into the fact that what they're doing isn't that bad. But now notice he says, verse 11, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He says, that's in your past. That's what some of you experienced, but you're not that anymore. Now let's look at the words that the Apostle Paul uses. And he's looking at it actually from the experience of people. He's not talking about it from God's standpoint, because from his standpoint, justification comes first. But he's talking about the way in which we view it. He says, first of all, you are washed. You're washed. I say to those of you today with a polluted conscience, do you know the delight of being washed? A few years ago, I gave an invitation here at the church, and a number of people came forward, and we prayed with them later, which is something really we should do more often, though we have prayer partners here every Sunday. But there was a young woman present who later wrote me a letter, a marvelous letter. Some people have written me letters that I just need to keep because they've said it so well. She said, in effect, I carried a heavy sin on my heart. Now, she's talking as a Christian, remember. She said, I carried a heavy sin on my heart for 8 years. She had lied to a man about being pregnant when she wasn't, so that he would marry him, and then they were married, and then she committed infidelity and so forth and got involved in all of these kinds of situations. But she says, my marriage crumbled because of my infidelity, and so she said, I decided that no one would ever know about my past, and even the man to whom I lied, she said, I determined that I would take the lie to my grave and he would never know the truth. But she said, I took a shower in that room, she's speaking of the counseling room, and was clean. She said, I had weighed so much, I felt if I stood on a scale, it would register my extra weight. And she said, when I left, I felt as if I weighed half as much as I used to. Because she made that sin right with God and also with that other man. I say to those of you today who wonder, can God wash me? The answer is yes. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Paul says to these people who were involved in all these different kinds of sins, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were set apart by God because you belong to Him, you see, and now you are special to Him. And then he says, you've been justified. You have been declared righteous by God, legally righteous, just as righteous as God Himself is. And that's why you have actually within yourself, within God's help, I should say, the power, you see, to leave that sinful lifestyle behind. You really do.
My friend, today I want to encourage you to not take that lie to the grave. This is Pastor Lutzer. In my counseling experience, I've had many, many interesting examples of people who have lived with lies and sins. And they thought that coming to the light would be so disastrous, it would be such a terrifying experience, such a shameful experience. And what they discovered was that when they paid that price of honesty, God did indeed take a weight off their mind, off their heart, and off of their conscience. As a matter of fact, one time I had the responsibility of counseling a couple where the wife had to confess to the husband in my presence that their first child was not his. You can imagine how devastated he was. You can imagine the atmosphere in the room when that truth came out. And yet, after all, this dear woman, God bless her, could not possibly continue to live with the lie. Her conscience would not allow that. And even though the man took it so difficultly, to use an expression, I mean, it was a devastating blow to him. Yet at the same time, I urged him to forgive his wife, to begin a new life together, to begin to understand and accept this child as if that child were his own. We live in such a broken world, but the secrets that you are carrying, that weigh upon your soul, must be shared. Talk to somebody that you trust. Go to your pastor. Choose someone that you know will be able to help you in the midst of your struggle and in the midst of your secret. Because God is there. He's the God who forgives, the God who cleanses, and the God who helps.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part 3 of Sexual Freedom, The Poisoned Oasis, message number 6 in his series on 7 Secret Snares. Tomorrow, final thoughts on getting out of the prison of sexual bondage. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book, 7 Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Thanks for joining us today, and join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.